Hello and welcome to the She Boss Cafe podcast, where women entrepreneurs come together to just soak in any form of information and community that will help them be stronger entrepreneurs. We love the She Boss Cafe. I love hanging out in the She Boss Cafe with all these beautiful women, and I would love to see you there. As a matter of fact, we record this live podcast every Wednesday, the first and third Wednesdays of the month. And today we have a really special guest expert with us. Her name is Jill Celeste. She is the founder of the Virtual Network Community. Do you call it a community, Jill?
The official title is Virtual Networkers, Global Networking Sisterhood.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I met Jill, I think it's been a few months now, right, Jill?
Yeah.
It's been a few months. A very close friend of mine and someone who's also in the She Boss Cafe said, you got to check out Jill's networking community. She runs a really good group. And there's a really big reason why it resonated with me. It's because Jill, whether you do it intentionally or not, fosters a space of relationship, right? So sometimes people will talk about networking as very transactional, but that's not what you find when you come into Jill's space. So I just love being with you there, Jill. You do just a wonderful job, and I've met so many wonderful people. So welcome today. Tell the audience anything else that you think they need to know about you and your background and how you came to create this sisterhood.
Well, first of all, thank you for being part of Virtual Networkers. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you. I feel like I've known you for years, even though it's only been a couple of months. It's been such an honor to get to know you. So brief history, I started Virtual Networkers in 2018. At that time, I was a marketing coach. I was doing all of my coaching over Zoom. And as a marketing coach, I knew the importance of networking for growing my visibility and meeting possible collaborative partners, et cetera. But what would happen as a low energy introvert is I would go to an in-person networking event and I loved being there, but I would be exhausted. I would have to come home and take a really long nap. So a 1 hour in-person networking event was turning into a 5 hour event for me between getting there and eating the food and small talk and then the nap. So I thought, well, you know, I run my whole business through Zoom. Why can't I network through Zoom? So I thought about it and I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to experiment. So I sent an email out to my list and five women showed up that first time. That was our first meeting of Virtual Networkers. And it was before COVID. I'm certainly proud to say, because I just knew instinctively that we can connect as women entrepreneurs through the webcam and also amplify our reach through global connections because we can do it virtually.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing that. I think that virtual networking has made all the difference in my business growth because it's efficient. It's time efficient. I don't think I'm an extrovert. I think I'm kind of somewhere in the middle between introvert and extrovert, but I am someone who appreciates time efficiency. And I just couldn't spend an entire day going to a country club and sitting and having lunch. It just was like, no, that's my mama's networking.
Well, that's true, right? You think about, you have to get ready. You know, most women are going to get ready. You get to get there depending how far it is. Then there's always the small talk at the beginning, the small talk at the end, and the heavy meal. It's a big thing. And if you're an extrovert, you probably don't think much of it. But for an introvert or an ambivert, that could be quite overwhelming. And especially feels like you're taking in the whole day for 1 hour event.
So here's my question for you, Jill, in regards to quality networking, because I know that you do this very intentionally. This is not something where you're just opening up the camera and letting, you know, things fly. What if I was a woman business owner and I was looking for a networking community, what criteria should I use to find one that fits me best?
I believe that you have to know your own energy. You have to know what makes you feel comfortable, because networking events are like Baskin Robbins. There's 31 flavors out there easily, plus probably another 31. So knowing what you want out of the networking experience, thinking about that, even if you have to journal or just, you know, meditate or pray over it, I think that is the first step before you even seek, because now then you know, okay, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this. And if you don't know, maybe you're new in your journey or you're pivoting, then just go try one. And then you can you can gauge the feedback of, oh, I don't like this, or I love this. And this will help you with your search. There are so many groups out there, virtually and in person. There's women's groups, there's mixed groups, there's groups based on faith, there's groups based on your industry. So there's certainly something for everyone out there, but knowing what it is you want to achieve through your networking, besides getting clients, yes, but there's so much more to networking than that. But knowing what those objectives are, I think, are super important first step.
I love that. Yeah. So what I heard from you is there's two things: know yourself,
Yeah.
know what you want your outcome or achieve, what you're looking to achieve from networking, and then find the right place that fits. And that's
Right.
like both of
Right.
those. You have multiple chapters all, I mean, internationally, right?
I do. We do. Virtual Networkers has five chapters. We're a weekly networking group. So we have five chapters. The difference between the chapters is the time and the day. That's it. They're all run the same. Of course, the presidents might have a little different idiosyncrasies, personalities, et cetera, because we're all individuals, but the structure is the same. And a lot of our members, because when you join, you can go to as many of those chapter meetings as you like. So you start to see new and familiar faces in there. So I like weekly networking because I believe that's how you really build those relationships, by seeing the same group of people weekly, or as much as those people can attend. That really helps create those relationships.
It does. And I remember when I was invited to attend and try it out, the person who told me about it said, now listen, if you join, you're making a commitment. So Jill requires certain things of you as a member. And it was the first time I had ever heard that parameter actually set on a networking group. And I have to tell you, I'm a rule follower. So I took them to heart. Knowing you, I don't think you're, a warden of those rules
Right.
necessarily, but tell me what went through your mind as you first tell us what the rules are, quote unquote rules, requirements, and then tell us what went through your mind as you established those.
Well, for one thing, I know that, especially with women entrepreneurs, we often have decision fatigue, right? We make so many decisions in our business and our personal lives, between our business decisions and perhaps being mothers, or the daughters of aging parents, or members of our community. We've got a lot of decisions we make. So I wanted to take some of the decision fatigue out of it. So I said, we're going to have the same structure. Our meetings are all very structured. They start with an introduction, then there's sort of the main event, and then we end with announcements. It's predictable and it's comfortable because you know this is what's going to happen. So that was one aspect of that. Secondly, I believe that networking is a collaborative function. Even if you have someone like me who's running the group, it's an all hands on deck endeavor, because the success of the networking organization relies on the members, right? It's really about the members doing whatever it is they can do to add members to the group, to talk about what they do, to be present, to come to the meetings. So I figured if I can just set some very easy guidelines or parameters so people know, because people don't know, then they don't do it. They don't understand. But if they understand the guidelines or the rules, then they know it's expected of them, and it makes it easier. It really does make it easier. So my rules are very easy. If you can't make the meeting, you let the president know. That's, there's no, we don't like boot you out if you're out. We want you to go on vacation, all of that. We ask that you help us find other members. And we have a couple of committee assignments on a quarterly basis that we'd ask you to help out with. Nothing time intensive. And that's it. It's not a lot, but it's pretty clear. We have a handbook so that people just know what's expected of them. And I think that really helps. There's no surprises. It really helps, especially women entrepreneurs, because we're so darn busy.
Really? You're busy?
Nothing
I never
about that.
heard that. No, you know what I love about what you just said, Jill, is first of all, I love going to something I don't have to run. I love having the experience of being a member, right? And not having your responsibilities. And so I can share from my member experience that as you were just describing that, I was thinking, oh, that's why it feels so good to me. That's why it feels good, because I know exactly what to expect and I know what's expected of me. And I made a commitment. And so, even from a decision fatigue, oh, should I go to that today? I don't really feel like it today. there's no decision fatigue in it. It's like, I made a commitment to show up. I'm going to show up.
Yeah.
And it just makes it very easy to like do what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
It, I think rule followers are a perfect fit. If you are a rule follower, you belong in virtual networks.
We do have a few mavericks too, and they do feel welcome because there is still flexibility because we do have five chapters, so you can go to different chapters. There's some networking groups that have like referral quotas and real strict attendance policies. We don't have any of that, so that feels good to our rebels too.
Perfect. Perfect blend. All right. So you mentioned another word, which was collaboration. And I love the way that you include that in the experience of networking. So there's like an internal collaboration with the members of the network as far as making the experience healthy for everyone who's committing to it. That makes sense. How about members collaborating with each other?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I
And
interrupted
how
you.
does that tie into the like what people are really expecting to achieve or the outcomes of networking?
I get so excited about this topic. You can hear me. I'm chomping at the bit here to talk about this. Nothing makes my heart sing than to see collaborations among members. Some of these collaborations could be something as just as simple as they figured out they live near each other and they're going to meet for coffee and just have a collaborative coffee chat, to actually having like business relationships and doing things together from a business standpoint and everything in between. One of my favorite stories about virtual networkers is of a woman. Her name is Margaret Martin, and Margaret unexpectedly lost her sister. And it was just during the time when she finally worked up the nerve to start a program for women healing from narcissists. And she knew this was her mission, and she had been real tentative about getting it out there. And she finally said, "I'm going to do this." And then her sister passed away, and so she emailed me and she said, "I need help. Can anybody share my social media post because I can't?" And so I let our virtual networkers know, and man, did they rise to the challenge. We shared her post, we talked to people about it, and she got clients from our efforts because we filled the gap. And we weren't affiliates. There was no monetary gain. It's just, this is what we do in virtual networkers. We fill the gaps, we collaborate, and we help each other. And then there are more structured things. Like we have people who, like Debbie Keevan from Highlander Press, she'll have an anthology. And so we will collaborate and submit different chapters for this anthology. So we have anthologies with 20 members of virtual networkers in there helping produce this beautiful book. It, to me, collaboration is really what networking is. I know a lot of times people hear the word networking, they think referrals, they think getting clients and getting sales. And there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, we want you to be successful. But to me, it's really about collaborations. When you collaborate, all that other stuff comes, but you got to have those relationships first.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love the personal aspect of that. It brings to mind other types of networkings that I've heard about or network opportunities that I've heard about that are seat specific.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your experience with how you decided to set up virtual networkers and your
Yeah.
choices in that.
So when virtual networkers first started, I was a seat-specific group because that was what I knew. And so I had, and it was, it's, it, when I look back at it, so I have to laugh because it was ridiculous. But, we had the one lawyer, the one bookkeeper, the one, XYZ. And it worked. It was a great way to get us members because it was, that sense of, oh, I'll be the only one. But intuitively, I know that there's no such thing as competition, and that you can have 17 health coaches in the room and everyone will be just fine. About 2 years into virtual networkers, I made the decision to get rid of the seat-specific aspect. And it was an easy decision to make. I was worried about telling my members because I brought them in under this seat-specific promise. But I explained my reasons and explained that I don't believe in competition, that I believe there's just enough for everyone, even if you're in the same industry. And thankfully, all my members are heart-centered and they agreed. And we released that part of our chapter. And it has been perfect ever since. And I'm so glad I did that. So some groups are seat specific. That's fine. I mean, that's how they want to do it and they resonate with people. But for me, that just did not feel good. It never did. And I'm glad I got rid of it.
That is the thing that I find so interesting about that is that you had naturally attracted people to you that were more abundance mentality versus scarcity, right? Because
Right.
they were able to accept that easily.
Yes.
You almost put up a barrier for your own ability to do that, and they still found you.
Yes. Yes, they knew. We're all intuitive, I
Love it.
suppose. And it, what a blessing, because I didn't have, those icky conversations that I was fearful of, which is what was stopping me. And it never even transpired. Isn't it like your imagination will come up with all these stories to stop you? And mine was certainly working hard on that. And thankfully, it only stayed in my mind.
I love it. All right. So sometimes when people talk to me about networking, we're having conversations about how they can find new relationships and be able to partner and collaborate and grow their business by doing networking. One of the things that I hear them say is, I do networking, but I end up with a lot of new friends, but not necessarily parlaying that into business relationships.
Sure,
So how do you
sure.
help your members really achieve the outcomes they're looking for from that perspective?
It's such a beautiful question because it requires a balance, right? Because, and then this, I think this is where I talk about masculine energy and feminine energy. The feminine energy is out there, you're going out, you're making friends, you may meet beautiful people, you're building relationships. And that is, to me, tantamount. But there's nothing wrong with the masculine side of that because there has to be a balance of asking for a sale or asking for a referral, asking for help. And so, at least in virtual networkers, we've structured it so that we have the feminine and the masculine energies going. So that in a meeting, for example, at the end, if you're a member of virtual networkers, you have a moment to ask for help or ask for a referral. We open up the floor so that you have that comfort level of saying, this is what I need. I have this class, I have this book launch. So that women get comfortable with the ask. So I would say to anybody who is struggling or maybe just wondering how that works is to remember you are deserving, you are worthy of asking because people want to help you, but often they don't have no idea that you need that help. They can't read your mind. So if you're finding yourself in situations where you're making great friends, which is always good, then ask yourself, if this person is a great friend, then she knows that maybe I need help promoting my upcoming webinar, or maybe I need someone to help me find a WordPress person, whatever the ask is, and know that you are worthy of making that ask. And I think that by getting into that practice and knowing that you can do this and no one's gonna be mad at you, I think that helps a lot with that mindset shift.
That is probably one of the best ways I've ever heard that described.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Because when we as women hear masculine energy, the first thought that goes through my mind is, ooh, pushy, sleazy, pushy. That's what I hear from everybody. I don't want to be that person.
Right.
But being able to stand in that energy of owning our worth is also kind of a masculine thing.
It is.
Unfortunately, I wish we could say that a woman's energy could own that, but it really is more of that masculine,
And
I
it's a
am.
good thing.
And it's a good thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing
Nothing
wrong
at
with that.
all. Nothing at all. And I think we don't, none of us want to come off. We always hear the expression sleazy salesmen. And notice it's men. Or man at the end of that. We are not ever going to come across that way if you're coming from a place of service and from your heart. And especially if you made friends with those individuals, they're going to want to help you. People are born givers, they want to help, women especially. So if you just remember that as you seek these relationships, I think it'll make it more, and I'm going to use the word profitable. And it doesn't always mean money, but that it makes you feel like this adventure is really gaining a lot for myself. I'm really learning stuff along the way.
It's funny that you just said that the M word that does change the texture of a lot of things for us. Because I think as women, we are very reciprocal, like reciprocity. Oh,
Right.
I'm happy to do that for you, but we don't ask. We're just, boy, it would be nice if they did, something for me, but I'm not going to ask. Getting over that hump of being able to feel worthy to just state what
Yeah.
you need and ask is one thing. But when it comes to money, it actually, I think it raises the bar for
It
us
does.
on that ask. And that's where we have to, I don't know, what advice do you give to the women out there in the audience around being able to, in essence, in your mind, reconcile that it's okay to ask, even if it includes something that they will give you money for?
I to me, it goes back to self-worth. You are worthy of being richly compensated for your gifts. You did not take a vow of poverty. I don't think any of us have. You are allowed to make money, and we need women to make money. This is how we fix things in the world. So knowing you are deserving of that compensation, to me, it's not an overnight process. And Susan, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It takes time. It's a process. But it starts with that, is that self-worth. You are worthy of receiving money. And when we can normalize the money conversation with women entrepreneurs, oof, that is transformative.
It
It
is
really is.
transformative. Yeah. And especially ladies out there that are listening to this, where you are your product. Okay. I can say, Jill, I'm going to sell you this pen. I'm not kidding you. It's the best pen I've ever used in my life. It's worth every cent that you would pay for it. And we honestly can feel pretty good about that. But when we start talking about our intellectual property and the value of that, it is what you're hearing from Jill is own your worth, even if you're the product, especially if you're the product.
Especially if you're the product. And we're going to have days when we're going to feel like, what the heck am I doing? And who's going to buy this for me? Even the most successful people have that imposter syndrome. The difference is that they don't listen to it. And so that's what you need to do, is say thank you and move on. Just do your thing, because we need women entrepreneurs to do their thing and share their gifts. We need it now more than ever.
I love it. I love this conversation, Jill. And someone on the surface would look at this and go, whoa, they really strayed far off of networking, right? But we didn't, because this is why we need to surround ourselves with relationships and with other people so that they can recognize in us when they see us maybe not playing as big as we should in our own
Exactly.
value and lovingly be able to lift us up when we can't sometimes.
Right. And that's what a networking group should be doing. And that's, to me, that if I were to tell someone, like, what do you want out of a networking experience? That would be it. You want to be part of a community, whatever that looks like, that is there for you through the ups and the downs, who fills in the gap when you can't, and makes you feel like you're at home. That you then, like, you get a networking meeting, you're like, oh, what? Meeting, I get to meet my ladies, or whatever the case may be. Like, it fills you with excitement. That's what networking should be for you.
What a perfect note to end this podcast on. Thank you so much. Jill, I'm pretty sure it's virtualnetworkers.com, right?
Actually, it's dot biz. Somebody else has dot com. Gosh darn it. So it's virtualnetworkers.biz.
Thank you for correcting it. And for our listeners out there, I will have all of Jill's information in the show notes. I encourage you to take a look at when the chapters are meeting, find a place that fits well in your calendar. And give it a try. People can come and visit
That's
and check it
right.
out, see if they feel like the energy and like it feels like a fit to them. But I can vouch for it. It's a new home for me, and I love being
Thank
there.
you.
As much as I love being in my cafe with my ladies, when it's time for me not to be the one in charge, I like to go and hang out with Jill and her folks. So thank you for bringing that
Thank
space.
you.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you got value out of this today. Networking, as you heard, is an important part of your business growth strategy for so many reasons. Put it on your list to find the place where you feel like it's home to you and make those relationships that will really become key partners. Thank you again, Jill, for sharing your time with us, and I will see you this Friday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern.
See you then.
All right. And come back anytime, you guys. We're here the first and third Wednesdays of the month on the podcast. It's always great to hang out with you. And until we meet again, have a great week.